I'm doing an audio post for my blog. I'm doing it as a drive home from work on Thursday. This is my post for Friday, the 15th of March. March 15th. You know what? March 14th. Today, my anniversary. I got out of the Navy in 1985. I got out of the Navy March 14th, 1985. This is my anniversary. 85, 95, 2005. Good Lord, it's been a long time. Wow. So I was going to talk about the decline of America and my personal experience and what I think the problem is. The problem with the United States of America is public debt. Now, I'm not going to refer to scientific documents and statistics. I'm going to refer on what I have been told, what I've read on the internet, and what I've heard. All right, I've lived in the Cayman Islands for 16 years. I lived in the U.S. before that. I was working in Virginia, in Portsmouth, Virginia, living in Chesapeake, Virginia. And I was working two full-time jobs for 10 years before I moved down here. And when I say two full-time jobs, one was my career job working from 7:30 in the morning till 3:30 at night. I mean, till 3:30 in the afternoon. And then the second one was a part-time job, quote-unquote, 39.5 hours. So they didn't have to give me any benefits, working from about 4 till, you know, varying 10, 11, 12 at night. I worked as a dive instructor. I worked at a racetrack. I worked at a pizza place. I delivered pizzas. And I always, you know, I worked two jobs in the U.S. On top of my refrigerator, I had this green plastic box. I'll never forget it. And I put my bills in that green plastic box. And then when I got paid, I would take the stack of bills out of the box, turn them over so that the oldest one was on top, and then I would write checks and pay my bills until I didn't have any more money. And then I would turn the stack of bills over so the newer one's on top again, and I would wait till next payday. And I would go to the grocery store broke, and I would live on things like beans and those $5 for $1 ramen noodles and the cheapest food that existed. I would see people in the grocery store loading up their shopping carts with sodas and cookies and steaks and all kinds of fancy foods, and their kids running around the store grabbing things and throwing them in their cart. And then I would see them in line, and they would pull out a wad of food stamps to pay for their groceries. So here I am working two jobs, can't even afford to live, and people who are not working at all, eating from, you know, living high on the hog, living off of food stamps. And that, you know, kind of upset me. That really upset me quite a bit. And the welfare in the U.S., you know, you got people who aren't working, aren't pulling their own weight, is growing and growing and growing. And the people who are working are supposed to pull the weight of those who aren't pulling their own weight is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. That's just the way I see it. Another thing, I had credit card debt. I had several credit cards, and they were, you know, almost maxed out. And I could see trouble coming because I couldn't pay them off. And every day in the mail, I'd get a letter or a notification, you know, a little junk mail saying, "You're pre-approved for a credit card." It was very scary. Now, my total debt in credit cards was $3,000. Which today doesn't sound like a lot, but in the late 80s and early 90s, and to me, that was a lot. And I had, I guess, three credit cards, four maybe, that I had to pay off. I chopped up my credit cards. The only credit card I have is American Express, because you got to pay that off every month, and because American Express works for the card holder and not the, you know, the seller, not the ones that are trying to, that you owe money to. So It's the only one I kept, basically because you got to pay it off every month. And it took me a long time to pay off these credit cards, and it was impossible. You try to pay a little more than the minimum on all of them across the board, and the totals never go down, or else they keep going up. And the way I paid off my credit cards was I paid the one that was worst, Discover, the highest interest rate and the worst credit card of them all. I paid all I could afford to pay on that, and I paid the minimum on the rest. And when I got the Discover paid off, I picked the next worst one, and I paid all I could pay on that, and I paid the minimum on the rest. And I knocked them off one by one, and I got out of credit card debt, and I've not been in credit card debt ever since. Now let's pretend. Say I'm living in my house, working two jobs, paying off my debts, paying my bills, and then say I have a fictitious neighbor who lives next door, who lives slightly above his income. So he gets a credit card, he maxes it out, but then, like I already said, you go to the mailbox and you're pre-approved for another one. So he's buying jet skis and, you know, living high on the hog, and his credit card debt is going up and up and up. And every time, you know, he's working, but every time he gets paid, he's paying on his credit cards, minimum, 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 minimum. And he's broke, but it doesn't matter. He's living on his credit cards. He just keeps going deeper and deeper into debt. Now, he pays on his paycheck. He pays minimum, 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 minimum. Now, it gets to a point where he has so many minimums he's paying that he can't pay all his minimums on all his credit cards. And what's his collateral on his credit cards? His house. So now he's going to lose his house because he can't pay on his credit cards. Now, this is happening so much across the U.S. that the banks were going out of business because so many people were not paying off their debt. And I guess it was 10 years ago already that the U.S. government did their bailout to the banks. Why do they do the bailout? Quote, to extend more credit. So the banks could extend more credit. So the banks could give my neighbor more credit cards to keep the ball rolling for a little while longer. Now, the bank, they get their money from the government. They still go after my neighbor for the money he owes them. Whether they're going to get it or not is something completely different. But, so either the bank is going to get, you know, the money from my neighbor and the money from the bailout, or they're going to forgive my neighbor's debt. Now, my neighbor, he's never going to pay off that money he owes. He can't. It's impossible. So they're going to forgive his debt. So now my neighbor, who has been working his one job, you know, but living off of his credit cards, accumulating all this debt, and has got the things he bought, you know, assumingly he's got some things that he purchased with these credit cards to show for it, all of a sudden he's debt-free. They've forgiven his debt. I have been paying my bills. I've been working. I still got to keep on working two jobs to pay the bills that I'm paying. Nobody's going to help me. And that, to me, is just totally sucks. It's one of the reasons I left the U.S. Can't deal with it. Another thing that I think is wrong with the United States system, and probably the world, is the credit card system. The credit card system is set up in such a way that it is perpetual debt. If you pay on your credit cards a minimum, the balance is going to go up and up and up. And it's like 10 or 20% interest on credit cards. So it is a trap. I was in the trap. A lot of people were in a trap. I guess me being, I was single until, you know, I moved down here. You know, maybe I was able to get out of credit card debt more than somebody who has a whole bunch of kids and a bunch of financial obligations could get out of. But that system has got to change where the banks just, you know, you pay off your just the debt keeps increasing. Perpetual debt is what the historians were talking about. A government that lets its people go into perpetual debt is not a government, or something like that. Thomas Jefferson. That's what I think is wrong with the U.S. Those two things got to change. Before the U.S. has been going down the tubes since the euro came out. And I hate to say it, but I think it's because the black market doesn't really rely on the U.S. dollar anymore. So now they have the euro or the U.S. dollar, two like global currencies. And I think that's one of the reasons. I can't explain it, but it's just what I feel. Another thing that is driving the U.S. dollar down is the debt. And the only way U.S. is going to get out of its debt is if everybody in the U.S. who owes money, has credit card debts, works two jobs for 10 years, pays off their credit card debt, lives on $5 for $1 ramen noodles, and gets out of credit card debt, painful as it may be. And believe me, for me, it was painful getting out of credit card debt. Like I said, I was living on $5 for $1 ramen noodles. I was paying every penny I made on bills. And then, you know, at the end of the year, that stack of bills in that green box started getting shorter and shorter, smaller and smaller. I'm thinking, all right, I'm finally reaching the end of it. I'm going to make it to the light at the end of the tunnel. And then, you know what happened? Tax time came around. And I, single white male, I'm already paying 30% of my salary was going straight into taxes. I would owe more. I would owe literally every single penny I could lay my hands on. I have literally looked in the sofa cushions for coins to help me find the money to pay the money I owe at tax time. And then you know what? That stack of bills in that green box gets all big again, and I got to start all over again. And there's no way out. There is no way out. I was perpetually eating $5 for $1 ramen noodles, perpetually broke, perpetually stressed, and perpetually at work. And I'm like, I felt like I was the only one doing it. Everybody else just living off their credit cards, you know, living high on the hog. And I felt like I was by myself. And anyway, that's my rant on the USA and the system in the USA. One more thing I'll add to that. When I moved down here to the Cayman Islands in 1997, I took a little pay cut. But in my day job, I took a small pay cut. My paycheck did get bigger because it was tax-free, but it was technically a small pay cut. And I had the same bills. I had my mortgage. I still have electric bill, phone bill. Plus, I had my mortgage in the U.S. and my rent. I said mortgage twice, but I had my rent, which was more than my mortgage in the U.S., and I was making a little bit less money because I was only working one job. Well, you know what? I was able to pay all my bills. I was able to save money. Now, mathematically, this should not work because I'm making less money. I got the same bills, and I can't explain it. All I can say is this invisible thing that I can't understand called the economy must be better because I'm able to pay all my bills plus my mortgage in the U.S., still able to save money, and life is better. And I don't think the economy in the U.S. has ever been good as long as I live there. Even when everybody thinks it's good, I don't think it's good. When I go back to the U.S. now, it's like a third world country. I can't get internet access. You can't put air in your tires without paying 75 cents. Everything's designed to squeeze every penny out of everybody. It's not the place it was when I grew up. And that's my rant on the USA. And I thank you for listening, and we'll see how this sounds. Bye.